What if something you had been told for years and years and assumed it to be true because you had heard it from multiple sources and it was just the agreed upon knowledge? What if you found that was actually not true? I think we have these experiences in life. And now I'm going to take it a step further. What if a doctor diagnosed you with something? I don't know. For me, it would be diabetes. And that's what I have, type 1 diabetes, adult onset, which hasn't been a fun journey in the last few years for me. But what if that diagnosis, and I know it's not for me, but what if a diagnosis that the doctor gave you was the wrong diagnosis, a misdiagnosis? And let's say you're taking medication for something that you don't even have. It can end up causing more harm than good, right? Welcome to the Farming Show this morning. I'm Dylan Honkoop here on KGMI. What in the world am I talking about? Well, we're going to transition this idea toward something that is very much a factor in the future of farming, and that is the future of fish. And as we've said many times in this program, fish need farms, farms need fish. We live in the same world. Lots of this has to do with farmland and streams and water quality and all these things that we talk about. But what if the thing that we've been told for many years is actually not correct or not correct anymore about salmon? What if there is a great misdiagnosis of what the real problem is with salmon? We know that salmon are struggling. Certain salmon are, but not all. And that's something that isn't talked about often. We've mentioned it here on this program. But there's one particular fish that we seem to be the most concerned about, and understandably so. It's often not talked about that other species other than Chinook salmon are not suffering the same way, not struggling to recover the same way. But what if the prescription, if you will, to recover Chinook salmon that are struggling has been wrong? Joining me right now is Gerald Barron with the same organization that I work for, Save Family Farming, and he has been deep into the research on this really for years now, but in a more concentrated sense in the last several months, digging into the science studies, digging into what do we really actually know, what is the latest on what's happening with salmon. Gerald, welcome to the program this morning. And
thank you, Dylan.
Yeah, you were the one that coined this term, the great misdiagnosis of salmon and a misdiagnosis of salmon recovery. Explain to someone who's saying, whoa, what are you talking about now? How is it that you know better? Well, that's not really the argument that you're making. Explain what the argument is.
Well, it really comes from the idea that those people who are advocating for Chinook recovery, and we'll talk about that in a bit, why it's Chinook recovery and not the other species, are actually doing more harm than good. And the reason they're doing more harm than good is because they are, by focusing on one particular thing that is not the real problem, they are taking attention away from the things that are the real problem and therefore preventing them from being dealt with. The analogy that I used, Dylan, you mentioned the diabetes diagnosis.
Yeah.
But the analogy that I use is if you got a bad stomach ache and so you go to the doctor,
yeah,
and the doctor says, uh-huh, and he amputates your leg. The point there is that not only now do you still have a stomach ache, in other words, yeah, we still have a Chinook recovery problem, but a tremendous amount of damage has been done. In addition to not fixing the problem.
And I think that getting your leg amputated would probably actually make your stomach ache worse.
Yeah, well,
I'm thinking.
Certainly wouldn't help. So let's get to the real crux of it here.
Yeah.
As you said, salmon species are thriving. There's been many reports showing that Pacific salmon species are doing great. In fact, this year was a real crisis in the commercial fishing industry because of oversupply. That's true of basically all of these salmon species, except for Chinook. Why are Chinook uniquely suffering from this? Is it because of habitat? And that's been the problem, is because habitat is seen as the solution to Chinook recovery. And they don't say Chinook, they say salmon. Mm-hmm. Well, people need to understand Salmon don't need recovery. Chinook do. Chinook have been struggling, although the numbers are definitely on the increase now and doing better for reasons which we can explain. Mm-hmm. But the misdiagnosis is habitat. Now, habitat is very important for salmon and for Chinook. It's very important, but tremendous amounts of work has been done. $24 billion, for one thing, spent on fish passages through our dams. $24 billion, that's with a B. Mm-hmm. And hundreds of millions are spent all the time on improving habitat. We've got about 1,000 miples of stream riparian areas in Washington state that have been restored with trees and shrubs and all the things that are needed. But these efforts, according to the Conservation Commission, have not resulted in an increase in salmon. So we have lots of examples of where habitat, it's critically important. We've done tremendous work in improving it, but we're not getting Chinook returns. Why? And the science shows there are two very clear reasons. One of them is ocean conditions. The warming of the ocean, particularly in a few years where we had what was called a blob. In the North Pacific of higher temperatures. There were a few years, I think it was 2014, 2019, where it was particularly prevalent. And those have a tremendous effect, not on other species, but uniquely on Chinook because their life cycle is very different. They're dependent upon food sources and so that are affected by that. Sockeye, for example, are at absolutely record numbers, and they benefit from that, from those same conditions. So ocean warming is one big reason. The other is predation. Now, predation is a huge problem. This is, it's rather difficult to deal with the ocean warming. Those are, lots of conditions that are involving that. Right. And, a lot of attention is being focused on climate change and things like that. But nothing is going to happen with that in the near term. Predation is something that we can definitely do something about.
Predation meaning other predators eating the salmon that we're trying to recover.
Yeah, it starts from the time that the salmon are born in the habitat in the upper reaches of rivers and streams, and the initial predators are birds. And a study shows that something like 30% of the smolts coming down the Columbia system are consumed by birds. But the real problem, and this is, I think, would be absolutely astonishing to a lot of people. The real problem are harbor seals, and specifically in the Salish Sea. What is called the Salish Sea now used to be called Northern Puget Sound, but basically from the Strait of Juan de Fuca to the Strait of Georgia. So our local waters. Now, consider this. A study was done, led by a NOAA scientist, that looked at 1975 to 2015. And they saw that about 27 million Chinook are consumed by harbor seals from Alaska to California. So that whole region. However, 86% of those are consumed in our local area alone. Mm. We have over 10 times the number of harbor seals in the Salish Sea, the San Juan Islands area, and people who've been out there certainly have seen them. We have over 10 times what there was before the federal government passed the Federal Marine Mammal Protection Act in the 1970s. And the problem, what makes that problem worse is that killer whales, which have also about doubled in numbers in those 40 years, consume harbor seals routinely, except for the southern residents, the local pod in this area. They are, according to one of the leading marine scientists, called picky eaters, and they target Chinook. Now, the killer whales, of all the predators from California to Alaska, are the biggest consumers of what they call the Chinook biomass, but they target the biggest and fattest and best Chinook. It's the harbor seals that target the smolts, the young Chinook just emerging from the rivers. And in the Salish Sea alone, they consume about 24 million. That was in 2015, about 24 million Chinook smolts. Now, the problem is people are saying, oh, got to remove the dams, open up the habitat.
Right.
You got to.
Dams are an issue of fish habitat. And you're saying the misdiagnosis is.
Yeah, they're saying take out the dams because we need to open up the habitat above the river. And what the science is saying And many people who are involved in this, except those people, you know, who the politicians are listening to, are saying, you can remove the dams, but you're not going to get the Chinook back unless you deal with the real problems. That's what I mean about, yeah, remove the leg, you know, cause some real damage, because removing the dams would cause unbelievable amounts of damage. So you could do that, but you're still going to have the stomachache. You're not going to get the Chinook recovered. Take another example. Water rights adjudication in Whatcom County. Why is that necessary, they say? Oh, to protect the fish. It's for habitat. It has no impact on habitat. And even if it did, it would not recover the Chinook because of these other conditions. Take another issue that's really been affecting farmers. The calls for massive buffers on all streams and ditches. These advocates who are behind this want to see 100-foot and larger buffers on all streams, rivers, and even man-made ditches, even though they have no connection to salmon. You could do that, and it would have virtually no impact on salmon recovery, Chinook recovery, because of ocean conditions. So what, you know, all basically almost all the problems that farmers face in terms of environmental pressures have to do with recovery of Chinook based upon this misdiagnosis of habitat. And that's why it's so important, and that's why we're spending a lot of effort right now in informing the public. It's not about habitat. Yes, habitat is important. Water temperature is important. Clean water is important. But we've been doing those things and making great progress, and we're not getting the Chinook back. Why? Because it's not about the habitat. Now, one of the things, the problems that we face in this, Dylan, is that it's what I call the salmon recovery industrial complex. There are literally hundreds of people in our state, in this region, who are employed based upon this misdiagnosis. If it's understood that habitat is not the crucial issue, let's say we start focusing on controlling predation, which, by the way, Congress made some changes to that law in order to allow the sea lions that were consuming just a few in comparison salmon at the at the Bonneville Dam or the mouth of the Columbia, they were allowed to remove. If we were to focus on predation in the San Juan Islands and the Salish Sea, for example, all of those people who are currently employed and their jobs and careers depended upon habitat as the solution would lose their jobs, because people would understand it's not about that. Now, again, I'm not saying that habitat isn't important. Let me repeat that. We know habitat is important, but fixing habitat alone without addressing these other problems is not going to help recover Chinook. So that's what we're up against, is people are, their careers are, you know, wedded to this misdiagnosis.
And those people are the same people that we look to give the diagnosis, right? And so there's an inherent bias there towards one particular, so it's like going to Big Pharma and asking them to diagnose your, you know, medical malady. Of course they're going to give you, you know, a heavy duty prescription for some kind of drug maybe it's nutrition that you need to, you know, that's what a lot of people are finding in the health world. It's quite the parallel to what's happening here. Again, Gerald Barron with Save Family Farming is with us right now here on the Farming Show on KGMI. I am Dylan Honkoop, also with Save Family Farming, full disclosure, talking about this effort that we're trying to get the word out on. And this is not just based on our own information. This is basically a meta study or a meta analysis of other studies out there, more recent research on what's happening with Chinook salmon, why they're struggling, why they aren't, despite all this work that you're talking about that has been done, particularly with habitat, why that isn't bringing them back. And it makes sense. I mean, the way that I've heard it explained is, you know, habitat, it's like homes. It's a hospitable place for fish to live. And the numbers that I've seen, you know, even here in Whatcom County in the Nooksack Basin, right now there is more, even though, again, like you said, habitat isn't a bad thing, and you know, farmers continue to work on supporting projects to expand that, but from right now there's more place for salmon to live than there are to live in that habitat. They're under capacity, depending on the reach and the stream and a lot of particulars. But by and large, there's a lot of extra habitat right now. Going with the analogy and understanding what habitat means, there's a plenty of hospitable place, but no fish to put in it. Maybe the problem is something different. And that's what you're saying, right? The studies are showing.
That's right. And let me give you one example of the science studies that are reflected. We've got a 40-page appendix to our, like, 10-page summary of what we found. But let me just give you one example. There's a research company out of Victoria, Vancouver, I can't remember, called Kintama Research. And they're experts in this area. And they did a study to look at all the river systems that produce Chinook, that included those with dams and those without dams. So, for example, I think it's the Fraser River, big river system in Canada, but a lot of them going up the coast, Canada, I think into Alaska and things like that. And they looked at the Chinook numbers, what they call the adult return, and they compared it. And what they found is that the Snake River system was actually better than a lot of these river systems that don't have any human obstacles, including dams. So that, and it's, you know, those people were saying that only removing dams is going to allow Chinook to recover.
Yeah, by that logic, these other rivers should be doing amazingly well.
Well, if you want to follow the science on it, they should put dams on those rivers like they have in the Snake River, because, they're not doing as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, so the problem is obviously not the dams, nor is it buffers, nor is it any of these other things. Now, go back to that analogy a minute what I'm calling the salmon recovery industrial complex. It's like if you went to that doctor and with a stomach ache and he removed your leg and you ask him, well, why did you do that? You say, well, that's because it's the only way I make money.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
And the problem with that is they are the experts, you know. The doctor has a doctor behind his name. So the salmon recovery experts who are promoting habitat, who are embedded with this, they're the only ones that the media is listening to. If you read the Seattle Times, there's been numerous stories about that. A recent one about the Swinomish suing the EPA over water temperature, for example. And the Seattle Times has only listened to these salmon recovery experts who are part of this industrial complex that get their money from this misdiagnosis. We have pointed out to the Seattle Times editors and reporters that there's another story here that they need to cover. They refuse to do that. You know, it's no wonder that people don't trust the media anymore when they show this kind of bias.
Well, it's become a mantra that is assumed to be true. And back to where we started with this conversation, what if that thing that you've been told to be true, you've assumed to be true for so long, you discover isn't true? That's a hard thing for humans to deal with when they're very tied up, connected to, caught up in a certain mantra or belief. And in this case, it sounds like an assumption, you know, the way that a lot of people view this and talk about this and report on this, people become married to that. And it's hard to shake that belief or view.
Absolutely. And it's very frustrating because it looks more and more like those people who are crying most loudly about salmon recovery or Chinook recovery actually don't really want to see it happen, because they get too many benefits in terms of money, political power, clout, things like that, for there being a problem. It's why they continue talking about salmon having a huge problem when it's, you know, specific to that species.
Yeah.
And it's why they don't talk about it. They know the predation studies. I mean, I've talked to some of the people within this industrial complex. They're very angry about what we're putting out because they know it's the truth and they know it will undermine their basic story. They know the facts, but it's, you know, they have a reason for not promoting their, you know, and not publicizing the things that are really causing the problem.
It's fascinating to see what's really going on with this, and it's not what we've been led to believe. Gerald Barron with Safe Family Farming with us on the Farming Show this morning. If you want to learn more about this, read Gerald's research on this and the whole appendix, which links to a ton of different science studies and other reporting on these things that we're talking about here. You go to savefamilyfarming.org/misdiagnosis. Or right on the homepage at savefamilyfarming.org, you scroll down and you can see a headline on one of the stories that you can click to, is Chinook recovery harmed by a great misdiagnosis? So again, savefamilyfarming.org/misdiagnosis. Go check it out. Read up for yourself what's really going on here. And begin to challenge the mantra, challenge the narrative that's out there, because it's not as most people have been led to believe. Gerald, we appreciate you taking the time on this Saturday morning to chat with us. And more importantly, we appreciate all the research that you've done, all the time that you've put into really digging up the truth on this.
Thank you, Dylan. And one thing you might point out is that there's downloadable versions of that, so people can download them and forward them to everybody that they know who are concerned about Chinook recovery.